I appreciate your being here today for our study of God's Word, our worship of God. I'm very thankful for your presence. I want to talk to you today about the practice of sin. And I really want to make some points to you. At every church where I have preached, there have always been some who did not intend to grow and change. And that always came out, you know, they bore the fruit. At some churches, there were those who listened and tried. It is the same way here. It is the same way here. I can preach on a problem, and there is not a great deal of positive response. Certainly not enough. I have preached at places where the people just commonly would rally and say, "We've been slipping, and we're going to try to do better." But that attitude is not as common among us as it should be. So I want to talk to you about the practice of sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, "And you did He make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, wherein you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Now, I just read that passage. I didn't read that passage just because I want you to consider the words of that passage. Now, this passage was written 2,000 years ago. And it was written to the Ephesians. And so he says, "You did He make alive when you were dead." That was the condition you were in. You were dead through your trespasses and sins. And notice he says, "Wherein ye once walked." You lived that way. My friends, we have to consider the world in which we live. And we are surrounded by sinful influences. We are surrounded by the course of this world. We are influenced by the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. We are affected by that. Every one of us is affected by that. It may be that we're affected by it in the sense that we are aware of it and we are shoving back with all of our might. I want to address young men and women. Now, even many of you up here on these first two rows of chairs, but others of you back here, we have a lot of young people now. And I want you, please, to take heed to what I'm saying. I want to start off by telling you a story. A true story. This would have been at least 40 years ago. I was living in the Summerton, Dora area. We were near Jasper, Alabama. And I'll always remember this as long as I have any mind left, because it affected me so, so much. It was during the colder season of the year, during football season. And there was this woman who was driving late at night. She was trying to go back home. And she had her daughter with her. And there was a friend. And so they were trying to drive back home. The night was rough. It was dark. Fog was everywhere. And they came to a crossroads. The fog was so heavy that she could not clearly see the crossroads. And so the crossroads, there was one that went that way and one that went that way. But there was a third one that was the remnants of a former road. And it kind of split the difference. And what that road did was it went down and there was a bridge. There used to be a bridge that that road would come to and it would go across. But this mother in the dark and the fog was doing her best. And she took the wrong turn. Instead of going the road that went that way or the road that went that way, she took that road that was no longer in use. So she was driving along, not at a high speed, but she came to the edge of the bank of the river, and the river there. Oh, I think about that river. The water was dark, and at night it was especially dark. And she came to that bank, and she plunged off. She plunged down that bank. The car splashed into the river, and she died, and her daughter died. And the friend died. All three of them died. Now, if you had been in that circumstance, if you had seen, if, now think about this. Suppose that as she came up to that fork, that crossroads, there was somebody who was standing out there with a light was lit up, and they had a flag or something like that, and they were pointing, and they were warning, no, don't go this way. Don't go this way. This is the way you ought to go. What do you think that mother would have done? I think she would, there's no doubt in my mind, she would have said, oh, I don't want to go that route. That's the danger. So I'm so glad there's somebody here to tell me the way to go. Do you all begin to see what I'm going to be talking to you about this morning? I'm talking about the practice of sin. And do you know what I want you to do? I want you to avoid it. To do that, you need to not only be warned. Do all of you understand that you not only need to be warned, but what else do you need to do? You need to pay attention to the warning. Now, that mother did the best she could, and she just didn't have enough warning. Another illustration. I believe in parables. And that's, I use a lot of them because I think they're powerful. Recently, Laura and Scott, I and Hayden, went down to Carl and Martha. And so we were down there. And we enjoyed ourselves. And they took us out after a while to just kind of show us the what they were doing on the property there. And as we were walking along, they would they'd be going around this garden here, this patch here, this patch here. They got stuff all over the place. And so we were following right along behind Martha. So Martha came to this, there was this rack that had pipes sticking out, pipes and metal rods of some kind, and they were sticking out. Now, I could see those metal rods, and I could see that if I didn't pay attention, if somebody was not paying attention, they might go walking along and wham, it hit their forehead, or maybe even poke in their eye. And she did not fail. Not one time did she fail to say, "Now look out for these rods. Look out for these rods here. Be careful." Do you know what I did? I was careful. You know why? I didn't want my eye poked out. I didn't want to get a bruise on my head. Now, does that make sense to you? I mean, would you want to get a bruise on your head? Would you want to get your eye poked out? I hope you can see where I'm going with this. There are many warnings in Scripture. I want to read just a few of those warnings. I'm going to start off in Proverbs, and read one from there. Proverbs 1. All right, now then we're reading Bible. I know, but you know what the Bible is full of? Warnings. You know what we should do with those warnings? We should pay attention. If we don't pay attention, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have a knot on our forehead. We're going to have an eye poked out spiritually. So I beg you, please pay attention. And make this your own. In Proverbs 1, it's fairly long reading. "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother. For they shall be a chaplet of grace under thy head, and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as Sheol, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Thou shalt have cast thy lot among us. We all will have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird.'" In other words, don't you get it? When you see the danger, what ought you to do? What does the bird do? When you spread a net in the sight of the bird sees what you're doing there. You expect the bird then to be caught in a trap? "In vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird, and these lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain." Warnings. Now in chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. Listen to these warnings, please. You young people, you younger people, all of you, listen. "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a wayward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before you. Make level the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Warning. Now, what do you intend to do? You young people up here, you young people over here, young people throughout the audience, what do you intend? What do you intend to do with those warnings? Do you plan you're going to walk right on and bam, you're going to get your head just, you're going to get your eye poked out? Is that the way you're going to do it? Pay attention. Pay attention. Now there's another warning that I want to look at. This one is in this is in 1 Corinthians. So I want you to listen to this warning also. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 13. All right, now listen to this. This is a warning. It is a warning about spiritual misbehavior. And that's really what I'm talking about. The Bible warns us about spiritual misbehavior. The Bible is not warning us about a rod that's sticking out and it's going to hit us in the head. The Bible is not warning us about a river and we're going to plunge off in that river. The Bible is warning us about the most serious errors of all. So, beginning in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us make trial of the Lord, as some of them made trial, and perished by the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and perished by the destroyer. Now these things happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Listen, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, that can't happen to me. Oh, no, that won't happen to me. It can happen to you. And I want you to listen to this. Given an audience of this size, I can almost assure you that some of these things will happen to some of you in this audience. Some of these things will happen to you young people up here. These young people over here, all over, they will happen if you don't take heed. This is a very serious thing. Now, many factors enter into the life that you have lived thus far. Now, once again, I'm talking mainly to you young people. Those of you who are able to hear my voice and to understand what I'm saying, I'm talking to you. Some young adults and younger than adults, many young people have seen before them parents who sacrifice little to do what is right and ignore the Lord fairly regularly. They have been taught little, if anything, about the Bible. And I have to talk to parents just a little bit. Parents bringing your children to have classes at church is not all the teaching that needs to be done. Now, as your children think about their life, they are aware of what they have been exposed to. They know what has been before them. There has to be more than merely bringing them to a place where they are taught. We meet on Sunday. We meet on Sunday morning. We have Bible classes on Sunday morning. We have that class Sunday afternoon, 4:30 for the children. We meet Wednesday night and we have classes. Now let me see. That's twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday night. Now, am I missing something there? That's three. Three. Out of 168-hour week. So what do we need to do? We need to do a lot more teaching. We need to take the time. So in Deuteronomy 6, listen. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Teach. Teach your children. Deuteronomy 11 makes basically the same point. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 19. "And ye shall teach them your children, talking of them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you get up." Now, parents, if you're not doing that, you're not doing what God says will help to ensure that your children will be what they should be. If you're not doing that, you need to start doing it. You need to start doing it last year. You see, you need to be doing that. Now, coming back and addressing those young people that I'm particularly addressing. If you heed what I'm telling you, because what I'm telling you is what the Word of God tells you. If you heed what I'm telling you today, you will be saved both in this world and in the world to come. Isn't that wonderful? You will be saved. You'll be saved. You'll have the life that now is and the life that is to come. You will have that. But now, I'm getting even more serious. If you don't pay attention, if you don't say, "I'm going to pay attention," that's for me. That's the route I'm going to follow. If you don't, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. And you young people up here, you young children, and I love you. I love all of you children. I love all of you young people. I would do anything in the world to avoid what I see for you. if you don't walk in the way of the Lord. You will get to the point where you will be almost unable to change. The younger you are, the better you will be able to change. But if you ignore, and you ignore, and you say, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going. Maybe later, sometime. What I'm saying is that the more time goes by, the less able you will be to change. You won't be able to change. The concrete of your lifestyle, with its habits, will have a more rigid impact. Now think about this. If we poured a big old area of concrete here, and you were barefooted and you went plopped into that concrete. Now you wouldn't really want to do that because it would do bad things to your skin. But you know it might appeal to you. But it'd be fun. Plop. It'd be mud. Mud is fun. So you're plopping around, you're just plopping around. Boy, you're having a big time. You're just plopping around. And you continue to plop around, you're really having fun. Oh, kind of tired now, so I'm standing here for a minute. You know what will eventually happen? You know what that concrete will do? It will harden. It will harden. And that's what your life will do when you habitually ignore warnings. You young people. When you habitually ignore warnings, the concrete of your lifestyle with its habits will set, and then you will have to use dynamite if you hope to change. It will be so much harder. Now, I want to say a few things. There are many cultures, even different nationalities. I'm not talking about that. But we have cultures in areas of the United States. And I think we could probably find other cultures where this is the idea. But one thing I have really found in the culture around here is that if you get a job, and you hold a job where you work too many hours to worship God, then you're living an honorable life. No matter what else you do with your life. Not in the sight of God. No, you're not living a more honorable life in the sight of God. But the idea is, well, I'll leave the house, I'll get out from my parents, and I'll go and get a job, and I'll just work myself to death. Boy, will I have honor. Well, of whom? Of whom will you have honor? Well, nobody will think ill of me then. Well, are you wanting people to, are you concerned about what people think? You know, I mean, there's so much contradiction as I see that attitude. But there is that idea that if I just work so hard I don't have time to worship God, then I will be all right. No, that is not true. Such a life may be honorable in to some extent in this culture, but it is most certainly not honorable before God. And Donald, you know, you read that Sermon on the Mount. You read part of that. That Sermon on the Mount lets us know that, no, a life that is without God, a life that is habitually without God is not acceptable to God. Is that any surprise? A life without God is not acceptable to God. Is there a mystery about that? Would you expect God to like someone who lives a life that totally excludes him? There's no way. Oh, my friends, you young people, you must understand that you can't have a life that eliminates God. Because if you eliminate God, do you know who is bigger, you or God? When you eliminate God, you've eliminated nearly everything. And you're the only thing that's left, and you're pitifully little. I am pitifully little. When I compare myself to God, I don't amount to anything. I may eliminate me, but I don't eliminate God. I want you to know that. I want you to understand that. Now, I want to talk about something else. Choosing a life partner. Now, you young people, I want you to wait for a while. You know, I want you to wait for a good little while before you're going to be up to choose a life partner. And some of you over here, you may be a few years closer, but I want to talk to you. Do you know why? Did you notice what I said? Choosing a life partner. Do you know why I said that? Did you notice I didn't say choosing a wife? I didn't say choosing a husband. Do you know why I said that? Because in today's culture, whether you're a man or a woman, you could choose a man or a woman to be your life partner. Because homosexuality is alive and well in our society. So, that'd be the idea of one of you girls. Okay, I'm going to get a girl. Or, you know, no, I'm not going to get a girl. I want to have a boy. Or, boys, I want another boy. See, that's the horror of it. Are you going to pay attention to warnings? Which warnings are you going to pay attention to? Is it going to be the warnings that, oh, homosexuality is bad? Well, what about other warnings? What about other warnings? They are equally bad. And we must pay attention to them. So in today's culture, whatever you are, you could choose a man or a woman. You also could choose to get married or just live together. Otherwise known as shacking up or fornicating. Don't put tinsel on it. Don't try to pretty it up. You can attempt to beautify what you're choosing, but it remains without honor and without foundation. It may be that you choose a life partner or a month partner or a year partner. Does everybody understand that? Instead of a life partner, what else can it be? Maybe a day partner, a week partner, a month partner, a year partner, but not life. That's what's going on today. And when you make the choice, love will not be a valuable commodity in that relationship. And when the man or the woman is no longer young and good looking, then they can be exchanged. Now, you know, you need to think about this. I have some news flashes for you guys. For you who are young. You're not always going to be young. Boy, that's a hard one to accept, isn't it? Because, well, I'm young now. Yes, you are young now. Do you think that you're always going to be young? Do you think? You look around and say, well, I know some fairly, well, they're old people.
I mean, they may be 30.
You realize that?
So someone may say, well, my partner, he or she is getting old. I think they've passed 30. I'm going to get a younger one. Well, here's one thing I want you to think about. You know, as you're thinking about the future, say you have just ignored God's warnings and everything like that, and so now you've shacked up with somebody, they're your friend, they're your partner, and they're no longer looking quite as good as they did when they were fresh and young. I'm going to go get me another one.
Well, guess what has happened to you? Guess what's happened to you? You are no longer fresh and young either. You know, you cannot always count on being fresh and young and energetic. Boy, have I learned that.
I mean, it'll be a surprise to you guys, but I was once very young. I was once very energetic. I didn't know what tired meant. I know what it means now.
In all that I'm saying, one thing you're going to have to realize is that you're not always going to be young and good looking. Now, as I come to the close of this, listen carefully. Do you know what you will have? Do you know what you will have when you are no longer healthy, young, and good-looking, and you don't have a family that loves you, and you are lost and without hope? You know what you will have? N-O-T-H-I-N-G. And that is in capital letters in my outline. That spells nothing. Nothing. You will have nothing. And eventually, it will come down to that. You will experience that if you don't heed the warnings. Oh, now let me tell you, if you will heed the warnings, God has a good life for you. It will have its problems. I'm here to tell you, it will have its problems. You see, I would have enjoyed having my wife still with me. You see, I didn't get to do that. I had to accept that. But God gives me hope. See, without that, I would have no hope. I've heeded the warnings. So I want you to heed the warnings. I want all of you young people to heed the warnings. I don't want to see happen to you what I know will happen to you if you don't heed the warnings. So I hope you will. I really, really hope you will. Heed the warnings. Seek the Lord and live your life His way before the evil days come. I'll read that one other passage, and as soon as I get to it. Right, this is Ecclesiastes. I think I could quote it. I'm less certain I can quote stuff. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come nigh. See, I did it. Now, there I am. Remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw. So, let me read that now and think about that. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, that's now, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. So, yeah, remember your Creator. All of you young people, remember your Creator. We who are older need to continue to remember our Creator. But I really want to press that upon you young people. Make it your goal to remember your Creator in the days of your youth.
Pay attention to the warnings that he gives to you. If you're not a Christian, why don't you become a Christian today? That's one of the most wonderful things you can do. And it's a thing that if you're going to meet God someday, you really want to do that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And be baptized. Be baptized into Jesus' death with Him for remission of your sins. If you're subject to that invitation, we hope you will come as we stand and sing.